Hi, I'm Jim. Welcome to the Unbound Performance Podcast, where we explore the world of sports and performance mindset training.
And I'm Caroline. Each week, we talk about the strategies, habits, and mental framework that help us to excel. Let's get into today's episode. So we're outside.
Here we are. Yep. Beautiful Raleigh, North Carolina.
Beautiful Raleigh. I thought we weren't supposed to have bugs on the screen and porch. Anyway, so we'll get two done today since I'm out next week. So the idea I sent you yesterday was sort of this. We've talked about what's on my algorithm and what's on your algorithm, and we obviously get very different things. But a lot of subject matter that I see is around, and I've talked about the word manifestation, and I get a lot of like business coaches, I guess, mm-hmm. who ultimately are doing mindset work. It's very little is about like how to create content. A lot of it, and the one that we've talked about a lot, Jamie C, mm-hmm. is all about like your mindset that your information that you have is valuable to someone. You don't have to be like, no market is oversaturated. You know, no one's doing it better than you can because no one else is you, right? We talked about this last week when we recorded right. with Cal too. And then I was talking with someone else last week who, it's a girl that does eyelash extensions, and she's like an esthetician. I can never say that word properly, but she, for the last year or two, she's been coaching other estheticians on helping their businesses grow. And I asked her like what type of work she was doing, and it was the same thing. It was like all about the confidence. It wasn't about having the best nail product or the best lash glue or the best whatever their like specialty happens to be. It was about your mindset around what your business, what you deserve, what you provide, like you as the business owner and the provider, not the product so much. And so it just got me thinking about this because in watching Jamie's content online, which I guess we'll tag her, we'll give her some credit. I like her a lot. I think she's very good at delivering a lot of what we deliver in a different way to people who are going to receive it differently. But manifestation is something I hear constantly. And we've talked about that being like a woo-woo word that's just like, okay, what does it really mean? Are we actually manifesting things or are we changing our mindset? And I think for maybe the average person who comes across someone who's doing this business coaching or doing this life coaching, not to necessarily say that like what we do is the same thing, but a lot of the techniques that they're teaching are the very same things that we talk about, just delivered differently. So, you know, around like a big part of that process, because some of these courses they're expensive courses. And I think for the people who gravitate towards that person, like, can be very much worth the money, right? Like, there's nothing, I think there's no price tag on this type of work. But one of the very earlier things, and this is about like identity, I think, where we talk about a lot, is figuring out like who you want to be. Like, do you want to be a successful entrepreneur? Okay, what does that person look like? What does that person do on a day-to-day basis? What are their habits? What things do they not do? What do they surround themselves with? And like very clearly identifying what that lifestyle or what that success or what that goal looks like for you by just writing or visualizing. So I think the more I've been listening to some of these, I guess, sales pitches, and some of them are podcasts where I hear about this or in this conversation with this other woman, is it's the same information just delivered in a different way. That's how I mean, I may be seeing it in a single lens because of what we do, but when I look read between the lines, it is very much discovering your identity, discovering your purpose, this, you know, goal setting, journaling, meditation, visualization are all part of that process that they're selling in those packages. So in the vein of there's something out there for everybody, I think it's helpful to be able to decipher what's different from one person to another, what's different from one process to another, and what kinds of outcomes you might expect.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, my feed gets some of that kind of stuff. Every time I hear the word manifestation, I mean, I've heard some people talk about it, mostly not successful entrepreneurs, who almost imply that pretty much all you have to do is see it and believe it.
Right.
And take no action. Right. I'm all for seeing it and believing mm-hmm. it. But I don't know that you bend the cosmos
no.
to your vision just by sitting there
and saying, I'm going to be successful. Yeah. You're right.
So taking action that bolsters the whole vision thing is, I think, pretty crucial. And I mean, it's like when I read the book Tough, he kind of decried the idea of hope, implying that if all you do is just hope, and I agree, if that's all you're doing,
yeah.
I don't know too many people that are getting anything done. Just
sure.
Hope it works out. And manifesting is the same. Like,
yeah.
And even from a like visualization thing, I think you can, I mean, I'm totally believing
yeah.
that. And I think probably really effective visualizing has to do with learning skills, like, or improving
the habits and daily, yeah.
Yes. Yes. So even like from an athletic standpoint, if you want to be a better free throw shooter, you know, get a firm, crystal clear, vivid
and what that looks like
image of what that looks like and plant it in your brain and see it repeatedly. I think there's probably, I mean, there's so many people who swear by it. And then every now and then I read someone who doesn't, where like from a competition standpoint or an outcome standpoint, there's not total science behind it. But I come across so many people who are like successful on a legendary level,
yeah.
who totally believe
and employ this stuff
and yeah. have done it like crazy, that I'm not going to sit here and say, well, there's not really any science.
Right.
There's examples all over the place. It reminds me of when I was in college a couple of years ago, and had an exercise physiology professor who would not believe that anabolic steroids worked to increase muscle mass, size, strength, you know, performance, and because there was no experiments to show that it did. And we got into like serious argument in class, and I said, well, one, it's not ethical to administer those
sure.
drugs,
for a reason.
Especially in the levels in which they are commonly taken.
Yeah.
But I said, we can go down to the gym where I lift this afternoon, and it's a petri dish for, like, look around, everybody's on them.
Yeah.
And they clearly work. And there's a reason why, like, every top performer in pretty much any kind of physical activity takes
these some enhancement,
but
yeah.
He just would not. Who was not having it because he couldn't find it in a textbook. And meanwhile, I'm like, look around.
Yeah.
So I think, one, I think it's no surprise that people are like really successful in whatever it is, whether it's
yeah.
business, athletics, you name it. They do all the things you just
yeah.
talked about.
I mean, my guess on the ones who are, a few minutes ago, you were saying they're people who like in a competition setting don't believe it as much. But I think, and I don't know, we talked about this weeks ago, maybe even months, I don't know how long it's been, about the idea, it was when we were doing the intergame game of tennis, about just like showing up and giving, delivering your best performance possible. And I think my guess, I don't know, I'm just stepping into this because you made the comment, but the people who might not believe it in a competition setting are because there's this unknown third party of what they're going to bring to the table. Like, you can only control yourself. But in that vision of, I'm going to bring my very best competition or my very best self to the table, regardless of who's over across the net or across the court or on the outfield, whatever, then yeah, I'm going to say that if both parties view it as, I'm going to bring my best competition, or at least you do, it's going to have some impact on the performance that you deliver. Not necessarily on the outcome of, like, you can't visualize yourself to win every game. I'm going to be on board with that one, right? Like, we've talked about that a million times. There are some things in sports that are just out of your control. But you can visualize and meditate on and journal on and employ the habits to become the best competitor as often as possible to control what you can control.
Yep.
I think that's where I see that. I listen to a podcast that's more about like wellness and health, but she uses this term manifestation a lot. She's in her early 30s and went through like a bad breakup and was doing a lot of self-work after this, after ending this relationship that she thought was like going to be long-term. Did a lot of kind of a lot of crazy things, like some like mushroom trips and all these kind of other type of processes to help, you know, discover her best self and this and that and heal from things, whatever. I don't mean to discount those. If that's for you, by all means, give it a whirl under medical attention. But she did a process called To Be Magnetic, which is basically a it's a visualization, you know, create your the world kind of thing. And long story short, she met this man who she's now engaged to. It was like a whirlwind kind of met this guy, and she keeps saying, like, we keep saying we manifested each other, and I'm like, But I really, what I think ultimately happened is, I think in this world of manifesting your partner, she just decided what she was looking for in somebody and was no longer wasting her time on people that didn't fit that mold. She trained her brain to determine what it was that was up to her standard or what her desires and goals were in a life partner. And so she was able to filter out the people that didn't fit that mold. So it wasn't so much that she manifested, like, I think manifestation to me sounds like magic, like some,
right?
But what she did was a lot of other work on herself to decide what it was that she wanted in someone like that. And so she was able to find it more clearly than trying to, like, waste any time on someone that didn't fit that mold. So I think it's just in this world of so much information with the internet and so many people who were experts on things. There's so many people who have, well, I tried this, and so this is what you need to do. Or I did this course, and so this is what you need to do. I think when you break it down, a lot of it is very similar self-work that helps you clarify, create habits, change mindset so that you can achieve the things that you want to achieve, whether it's a sport or a spouse or a business goal or et cetera.
Yeah. I mean, I think with that woman, part of it, I'm sure, is she created in herself the kind of person who would
mirror back what she
would attract.
Attract, yes.
Literally.
Right.
A similar kind of individual, and was giving off vibes that would
100%
get someone else's attention in that way. And I mean, people make vision boards and, you know, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's a kind of a way to manifest something. I think as long as you don't just think, I'm just going to
pop these pictures up here on the wall and expect them to come. Right.
That all of it is about. And I think even from a health perspective, there's another thing I wanted to mention on that. Staying yourself healthy.
Like, oh, yeah.
If you've got some kind of illness particularly, I mean, it has huge impact. And that doesn't mean you sit there and keep smoking six packs a day.
Yeah, no,
and
I look healthy in my mind. right.
Eating ultra-processed foods like there's no tomorrow, which there may not be if you eat a lot of them. But I think putting in work in that regard, believing in it, and then not just automatically accepting a diagnosis and odds and percentages and things like that, but instead seeing it go another way.
Yep.
And that goes back to, again, training. The more work you put in to train your mind to respond a certain way, the more effective it's going to be. So it's not, it is interesting, like, to your point, that it all kind of goes back to very similar strategies and tactics with all of this.
I mean, even in the health space of, you know, there's some I think it's called the Body Keep Score. Have you read that one?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
About this, you know, things that you hold from your past, whether it's a traumas or whatever you want to call it, or like things that you haven't emotionally processed well, your body can have aches and pains or chronic illnesses from, you know, things that you hold on to a long time. That's becoming a very popular life strategy, if you will. People who are suddenly doing these strategies to cure their chronic illness or whatever it is. Now, I'm not saying you can journal cancer away. I don't know the science and the data on that, although I do believe very much that the body does hold things. But that's one of those things too, is it's amazing how much our brain affects our cellular levels. And I mean, you hear basic that the more stressed you are, the more belly fat you hold, right? Like, it's not
true. Yeah. Cortisol and all that.
Correct. Yep. So you hear about those basic things. So it's, I mean, without even, I mean, I researched a lot on this, but without even going deep into that, it's very easy to believe that having had chronic stress or anxiety or depression or traumas in your life leading up to this could cause you to have other sicknesses, illnesses, chronic pains, things like that. So, not to get on a tangent on that, but I think these are a lot of sort of hot topics that I'm seeing on a regular basis that come across my feed. I'm sure other people are seeing them, that I just think when it comes down to it, I think every single one of those solutions starts with some sort of self-improvement, self-help, if you will, process that requires a lot more than just picturing what it looks like to change, but actually figuring out what those steps are and building the habits.
Yeah, and I think we routinely separate the mind and the body, and they are one. We talk about mindset or mental performance training and all that kind of thing, but there is it's thoroughly intertwined. And for our purposes, the reason we talk about the mental so much is because most people don't do any work on it.
Right.
Like they just work on the physical part of it and not realizing, or maybe I think a lot of people have a sense of it, but I don't think they regularly know to what extent it impacts performance. And so whether it's health and how every thought you have touches every cell in your body to performance of whatever kind, whether it's, you know, standing up and giving a talk or shooting a free throw with a game on the line, if you can calm your mind and that quiets your biochemistry and you get to perform the way you're capable of performing.
Yep.
And but seeing it, I think, is another way that is really beneficial, is that it provides hope and optimism, and you see yourself heading in a certain direction. I think that's a big deal, as opposed to I got nothing. Yeah. You know.
Well, we talk about this a lot. It's people are not inclined to say like, "Yeah, I can do it," or "I believe I can do this."
Right.
People are inclined to be like, "It's not gonna." It's much easier, that negativity bias or whatever, to say like, "Oh, that's not gonna. It worked for them, I know, but like, it's not gonna work for me because I'm not Michael Jordan to begin with, or I'm not, you know." But it is flipping that switch of believing that you could have the similar outcomes, or I mean, in some cases, even if you had 50% of the outcome, even if you don't get the same outcome that one person got, if you got half of the success they had, you'd be thrilled. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just that first step of believing. I think it's really easy to read these success stories and read these, "Oh, well, he did all these habits in this one day, and he did these, you know, he had this strategy for this and that, and that's great and it worked for him, but I can't possibly do all of those." But starting small and just realizing that it can be anybody who benefits from this stuff, I think is where it just helps to, when we're fed all this information all the time, it helps to not think that it just applies to the people who are sharing about it, but that it can apply to you if you can unfold and digest it.
And that's, not only are we quick to tell ourselves that we can't do it, we'll have plenty of people in our lives who are also very happy to let us know we can't do it either. That's very common.
Yeah.
And to sound harsh, people who aren't getting anything done or doing anything, who are wildly underachieving, the last thing they want to see is someone else be hyper successful.
Yeah.
I started reading this book on this Air Force pilot, Bud Day, and he saw action in World War II, Korea and Vietnam, and Congressional Medal of Honor winner. He comes from a town of nothing, like, where nobody ever did anything, and it was really hard to make it happen. And the economic circumstances were brutal. So it's not like he was looking around and seeing
models of this.
Oh, there's so-and-so. He became one of the greatest pilots in the history of our country, too.
Right.
I think I can do that. But one thing he did was make use of the library. I mean, avid reader, reading about all of these other worlds, so to speak.
Yeah.
And that kind of lit a spark in him.
To find that for himself.
Yeah. So he joined the Marines when he was still in high school after Pearl Harbor. And it's just, I don't know. It's, I think, a big part of why we do what we do is to, if we can ever be like a spark of like, you can do it.
Yeah.
That's
all it takes, is a little spark
thing.
Yeah.
Yep. So, you know, for me, I don't want to hear anyone say they can't do it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's try.
Yeah.
Let's do more than try.
For sure.
let's set a plan and get after it. See what happens.
Worst that you can do is see what happens.
Yep. But that's, I know when you texted me that, I was interested. Like, I wonder what prompted this and where she wants to go with it. But that was good.
Awesome.
I liked that topic.
Good deal. Me too.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Unbound Performance Podcast.
Your support helps us continue to build our community. If you're enjoying this content, please like, subscribe, and share.